Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from L.A., coming to you live from FEMA Region Number 6. Today is March the 30th, 2018. It is a Friday. Many of you that observe, Good Friday. It is Good Friday, and I just want to thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. And want to just say to you, greatly appreciate as we get along in today's show. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056, and we will see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. We'll look forward to that. So big ups to everyone as we move forward. Okay, as before we get going in today's show, as always, my day was extremely busy today. I'm glad I was able to make it to the show. I was running a little late, so please forgive we got started just a little bit late, but I guess we're right on time, though. But listen, everyone, it's very important that you support Black Talk Radio Network, and you can very easily do that by going to the website for this network, blacktalkradionetwork.com, www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Once you're there, give some of your cash to support this network so it can continue to be there and stay on air, okay? Very easy to do. You could also support the network by being a part of its social media outlet known as BTR Community. And BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all your social media activities without being adversely affected, without having without your identity being compromised and sold to individuals that you don't know, that you would otherwise not authorize your identity be given to those individuals. So with BTR Community, you don't have to worry about that. And you can become a member of BTR Community, which supports Black Talk Radio Network for only $24 a year. Currently, BTR Community, or Black Talk Radio Network in BTR Community, is having a 30-day free trial period. Log in and become a part of the platform. Check it out. And then for $24 a year, you can become a member and use the platform for whatever it is that you would like. So please, we'd love for you all to be a part of the network that way. So $24 a year. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by getting it through Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint is a full-service precious metals dealership where you can acquire real money by trading in your paper currency for real money so that you will have a real measures of saving. And once you do that, go to the website, check out what's in inventory, then email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com. And want you to email, just email saying that Dave from LA told you to email in about the buying process so that they can explain the buying process to you. Very important to you so that you know that, okay? So don't just buy and not do that. It's for your benefit. And that contact information will not be used for anything other than for the initial explaining of what it is that you're doing. You will not be receiving sales call or emails or anything of the such, okay? So make sure you do that. All right. So let me see what else is happening. That is about it. We're going to jump into what's in the news. Had a lot of stuff from yesterday. Didn't get into what's in the news yesterday because we had jumped into the actual House resolution that was proposed earlier on Friday of last week. And so just wanted to bring that to you. So we didn't get into yesterday what's in the news. But at any time, if you'd like to talk about anything, I really don't. Today I was so busy, didn't really have time to prepare for a show at all. So we're going to have open discussion. We're going to take a look at, creating an environment that's more conducive to the way that we live and utilizing our gifts for that. I think that's very, very, very important as we are. I think it's so important that we become dependent upon ourselves. And so, our gifts and ability, every single person that you know and every single person that I know has some amazing gifts and abilities that we should be taking advantage of instead of being those gifts and talents being given away or actually harvested for someone else's other than your benefit or the collective good of our species. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to think about how that works and to develop some of that. So that's some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. And if you'd like to talk about anything else on this show, once again, I didn't have time to really prepare for a show today. Was extremely, extremely busy, which is good, but didn't have time to prepare for a show. So if you would like to jump in about anything on today's show, would love to hear from you all as we move forward. Okay, 704-802-5056. All right, so one second. Let me pull up some things from what's in the news. So we're going to take a look at, there are a couple of things that I wanted to check out. Let me see here. Let me pull up. Well, we're going to do what's in the news, and then we're going to just take it from there. All right, so here we go. I think should really big up to my man Roz today. Roz knew that I was probably really busy, and he posted a lot of great articles. Man, I really, really do appreciate you, Roz. So much, my brother. All right, so let me check out some of the things. There was some major, major stuff. Okay, so what I'll probably do is take a look at some of these things from yesterday that I didn't get to read yesterday. Okay, so we'll kind of commingle the two. All right, so today, some of the postings that today, I actually posted an article about a protest, a Palestinian protest, the land protest in Israel that was happening today, and there was multiple people were killed, and they were by the Israeli authorities, and that happened today. And we posted this one from Sputnik News. Watch Israeli army deploy tear gas in brutal clash with Palestinians. So check out that article. Then there was an article, really good one, from Gold Money, the Yuan oil future and gold. Check out that. That's, you know, some of the real important things that are going on in the world as the economy, the debt-based and asset-based economy is making a switch, so that's significant. Then there's an article from the New York Times that Roz had posted. It's a Russian accused of hacking U.S. tech firms is extradited. This one came from Prague. A Russian man accused of hacking three American technology companies in 2002, possibly conspiring, compromising the personnel information of more than 100 million users. Was extradited to the United States on Friday. Wow. So that was pretty substantial. So, you know, when you look at all of this hacking, everybody's, as you already know, everybody's information has been compromised and really exposed to whatever that arena is going to bring going forward. Next article, this from AP News. U.S. Consulate, Arise posted this one. U.S. Consulate staff in St. Petersburg prepared to leave because they were kicked out in response to the Russian diplomats being ousted out of the U.S. Check out that article. Next article, Rise posted this one. This one comes from Reuters. Russian summons Western diplomats to set out retaliatory steps. So they were kicking out, once again, Russia was kicking out all of the nations that were participating in kicking out the Russian diplomats. So check out that article. Next article, this is a really good one. Roz posted this one from Business Insider. 189 people are dead and 100 more are seriously ill in the largest listeria outbreak in history. A food poisoning outbreak has killed 189 people and sickened hundreds more. A South African meat production plant was the root of the listeria outbreak. The incident is the largest outbreak ever detected, according to the World Health, WHO, World Health Organization. So, you know, this is one thing I'm not keen on. I used to be keen on so-called deli meat and things of that nature, but because of the overall sodium content and the everything that's inside of those, the preservatives and everything else, I no longer really mess with that. I'm actually going to try to change my diet as much as I possibly can to only consume meat very, 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 very minimal, very, very minimally. But this is, wow, 189 people. It's a lot of people. So check out that article. And this one, Roz posted this one. Here's what Facebook employees are saying about that growth at any cost memo. Another day, another crisis for the social media network Facebook, as employees are reportedly up in arms, detailing leaks, growth at any cost memo from the vice president at the social network. And that was Andrew Bosworth memo. So check out that. I didn't catch it. This is a really good article Roz posted here. This one from CBS News. Concerns over Russian ships lurking around vital undersea cables. And that's all a part of Next week, we'll do the 96-hour margin call. I was going to do it today, but I didn't have time to really plan for it. So we'll pick that up next week. But this is a definite part of that. Washington, it comes from Washington. Great article. Thanks, Roz. Russian ships are scuttling around underwater communications cable, causing the U.S. and its allies to worry the Kremlin might take information warfare to new depths. Is Moscow interested in cutting or tapping the cables? Does it want, does it want the West to worry it might? Is there more, or is this a more of an incident, or is there innocent explanation to this whole thing? So let me tell you what those lines are. Those lines are critical. That's the internet lines. That's a lot of, and that's probably a war tactic. That's one of the things that you would do in war is you would cut those lines, and those lines are at strategical points around England, around Europe, and in different places, and those lines can actually be severed. If they're severed, there goes all power towards the internet, powers financial transmissions and everything else, and that's worse than a bug, a virus, because you won't be able to reconnect those lines.
Hey, Dave.
For a very long time. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, those cables are more related to telephones and telegraphs than they are to the internet. If they cut those cables, that would just sever types of communications between North America and Europe. It will have no impact on the internet. The internet is designed to withstand a nuclear attack. You take out one node, all the traffic is just going to be rerouted to another internet hub. Then also, satellites are used. Now, I'm kind of skeptical.
Right.
I'm sorry, Dave, go ahead.
No, I was saying, yeah, no connection. Satellites and to the internet. Right, I hear you. Go ahead, Scotty.
So I'm kind of also skeptical about somebody being able to tap in from a submarine into some fiber optic cables. I suppose anything is possible. I have to look more into it. But this is what I'm concerned about, Dave. There's a lot of, of propaganda that's just, trying to create unnecessary fear and what have you because of they want to start, this war. They want to further demonize Russia in that manner. So I'm very skeptical of that particular report, but it would have no impact on the internet. It would just simply the traffic that go, if any traffic is going through those fiber optic cables, will be rerouted. I have to research it again, but I believe that, like, people that's in Europe that's listening to Black Talk Radio Network right now, I believe that's being transmitted to them via satellite. Okay. So
yeah.
I'm just very, very, very skeptical of Western media, because remember what we was getting from the media with the run up to attack in Libya, the run up to attack in Iraq. So when we read these things, when we get these
Syria,
articles,
the run up to attack in Syria as well.
Right, right. So when we hear these things, we have to take them with a grain of salt and just consider, well, why are you concerned about this now? Has this not always been a concern, And so, yeah, I'm just skeptical. I don't see how you could tap into those fiber optics. You can cut them, obviously, but I don't see how you can tap into them at that depth, because I don't even think that you could even have divers go on the outside. You know what I'm saying?
That's beyond my scope.
Yeah,
Scotty, and I totally agree with you in your whole assessment. It would have more on the connective aspects, and it has nothing to do no internet connection or minimum at the least, because it's not, that's not how it works. So yes, so true, and But yeah, and it's like you said, Scotty, this is the run up to demonizing and the Russian and the whole thing for the whole propaganda, because this is all what you have to do in order to get that to happen. So check out that article, well stated, Scotty. Next article, my man Raj posted another good one, White House Chaos Jeopardizes War on ISIS. Check out that article. And Raj posted this one on cryptocurrencies. China cryptocurrency top priority 2018, crypto trends. And it says, after the news, China's central bank will launch a crackdown on all types of virtual currencies, a vice governor of the central bank said on Thursday. We all saw some hints on China's being interested in the blockchain technology. And rumors are they might come up with a cryptocurrency of their own. I wouldn't be surprised about that at all. Next article comes from Bitcoin News, Bitcoin.com. Says Bitcoin News, Bitcoin not dead. There's good reason to be long on Bitcoin from Bitcoin News. Check out that article. Next article, Rise got this from Gizmode. Synthetic pot in Illinois is making people bleed from their eyes and their ears. And looks like it says K2. So, and it's, move this down. It's a sentence that just about sums up the 2018 so far. Illinois is dealing with another outbreak of synthetic weed that might make its users bleed from their eyes and ears. On Thursday, the Illinois Department of Health reported that since March the 17th, at least 22 people have developed severe bleeding soon after taking the synthetic pot product. So, man, I would just... Man, everyone, if you're going to engage in that synthetic anything, is bad for our natural bodies. It just totally, totally, totally destroys. And some of the stuff that's coming out, synthetic anything is not good for you at all. So check out that. Next one from Inverse. Rise posted this one. Illicit synthetic opiates are fueling a major rise in overdose death, says the CDC. And the CDC for me stands for the Center for Disease Creation. Opioid overdose deaths more than doubled in the past decade, killing over 40,000 people in the United States in 2016, according to the CDC, Center for Disease Creation. Doctors confirmed on Thursday that the synthetic opioids include illicit manufactured and are responsible in a large part of the increase. So check out that, and we all know that this.
Look, hey, Dave, drugs, on that.
Yeah, Dave, Scotty.
I've never heard of a synthetic lab being raided or anywhere in the world.
No.
It's coming from the pharmaceutical companies directly. There was an article I had read. It wasn't about synthetics. But they were saying that that basically millions of these pills and other kind of drugs go missing all the time from these pharmaceuticals companies. But I never heard of any synthetic heroin lab, synthetic opioid lab, opium lab. No, I never heard of. The only people I feel with the technology to create that is the pharmaceutical companies, man. They the only ones creating that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and we always hear about the war on drugs and remember we did the show when celebrity figurehead Trump said Trump said that they wanted to have the death penalty for drug pushers, for drug dealers. And exactly, you know, what we said then and what we're saying right now. You know, it's mighty funny how they never go after the ones that are creating this in the laboratories, because there is no intention to deter this at all. It's actually being used as a way to divide and a way to steal people's energy. And particularly this is why certain communities get a harder hit on it, because of those in those that community is being targeted for one reason or another. So if the Fraternal Order of Governments were sincere about these problems, these manufacturers, the actual creators of these synthetic drugs would be known as the pushers, the creators of these drugs. And that would be the target. That would be how you would stem this. That would be how you stop this. But that's not what it is. And they want to demonize and villainize the certain groups of people so that this overall drug situation can continue to be profitable, not in the standpoint of cash, but in the standpoint of stealing energy, because this is how they get their slaves in prison. So, yeah, I think I heard my man Jenna. Jenna, is that you? Welcome to Tando Radio Show. Go ahead, bro.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for I got on a little bit late, so I wasn't for sure if you was in transit or what have you. So I just did what you always say. Just speak up. I'm sitting here. I'm explaining some things to my children, and like I said, we got on a little bit late, so they haven't heard. And I'm gonna put them up on there so they can. And what I'm speaking about my children, I'm talking about 11, a 6, and a 3-year-old. And the 11 and the 6-year-old understands everything that you're saying completely. Just based off of the conversations that me and them hold and what they pass on to their student body, because I'm not able to homeschool them. So they go to school and they tell their friends about what they learned. And what normally happens is their parents come back and ask me, how do I know about that? So whatever you're talking about, just knowing you, most of us take that to heart. My question is that with all of this going on, when we run into people and they're kind of skeptical about what we're saying, because most of the time we don't run into people because we pushing this information on them. We run into them by way of people who are receiving the information, and they just overhear a conversation between those two people. Mm-hmm. You know, they walking by or what have you, and they was like, and they might stop you another day, be like, "Yo, I heard y'all talking about such and such, and I had this idea on that. What you think about it?"
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with these type of people, whether you're dealing with coworkers, family members, or your descendants, whether it's your for the older generation, your children or your grandchildren, when you dealing with people on that particular in those particular type of situations, how do you magnify what's going on so that they don't know that it's just something that's passing by? If that makes sense. If you need me to elaborate a little bit more, I can. But
no, I got you.
Okay, and with that being said, I'm going to just put myself on mute, and we're going to continue to listen. Next time I take myself off mute, I might be on my hands free, so forgive me for the background
noise. Call recording off.
Oh, no, we don't have any background noise. I don't hear any, Jerry. But I know that you, what you said, but it was very, very minimal. So it was not disturbing. We could hear everything that you had, and you came in loud and clear. So if, you know, what Jenna was saying was, you know, just explaining to people, you know, and giving them from what we're, you know, what we're seeing and what we're picking up, how is, you know, what's some of the tactics and some of the ways to explain it to them, and everything else. You know, one thing, and it's a great, great question. One thing, Jenna, well, you know, you have to know the individual that you're speaking with. And, you know, for like some people, you can give them situational things where you can ask them to think about certain things. Because there are some people that are naturally skeptical of the system because of very good reasons. And so those individuals, they take a different approach to information that you may give to them. They don't take it as gospel truth. They take it as if when they hear it, is this something that affects me? Is this something that I really should need to know? Is this something that I need to research? Is this something that I need to find out? And is this individual a reliable source? Knowing that sometimes mistakes are made or everything else. And so I would always say with us is those that are given information, you know, this sometimes there's firsthand and there's secondhand information, and third and fourth, and it goes so on and so forth down the line. So I think just to spark the interest of people and encourage people to think for themselves. And people, I was just having this conversation in so many ways about a week ago, with a good friend out of LA, and we were talking about how people will ignore things that have been happening for a very long time. Well, because it's a comfort zone, and the comfort zone is that a lot of people do not want their comfort zone interrupted at all, because the regular stress of the day from work to raising a family to just making it and everything else is enough. And it's really about taking it from a standpoint of, okay, I don't want anything more. But there are some individuals that realize that they should know as much as they possibly can, because that's important to them. Everyone's responsibility and everyone's level of comfort is different. Some people want to find out things. Some people don't. So I think that when it comes to people that we're talking to, there is no perfect cookie cutter. One thing that's very important is always establish a relationship with anybody that you're giving information to. And realize that your process of getting to where you've gotten to may be different than the one that they may have to go to. And not only that, what they may need to know is going to be something totally different from you. But because of you are who you are and you care about people, you know, offer them information. Don't force it on them, because what happens when we force it on them, they rebel. So I would say that, you know, some people are going to have a thought process, and they're going to process the information that you give them in different ways. Some are going to want to know more about it. They're going to want to know the source of it. They want to know how it applies, and then they'll take a historical look at it, because, you know, sometimes people will always want you to substantiate or validate certain things. And then that becomes a very dangerous situation for you in so many ways. And I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes when we talk to people, the system has taught us to really look at individuals the way the system wants us to identify with people and identify with them. And what I mean by that is this: the system always wants you to obey them, to obey the overall process. And so what happens is that there is a false and a very deadly influence that can develop from there. Because what happens is that when we learn something from people, we all of a sudden think of individuals being leaders, being the ones that know, smart individuals. And we all are. And I'm glad Jerry brought it up, because we all have our different gifts and everything else. But this system has always taught us to get in line, to follow the leader. Boy, girl, or one after another, this is your spot and everything else. And not knowing that that was a psychological program that was happening to get you to stop thinking for yourself and only to think in the contents of the chain. And the person ahead of you is ahead of you for a reason. And the person at the beginning is the leader. And everyone does what? Follow the leader. And I would always say that if you're going to give information to people, give information to people from a standpoint for them to develop themselves, not to develop an idol worship of you, of what you believe, of what you think. Because I think it's very important that we cultivate and we nurture our individual talents. Because when we don't do that, then we're actually doing the system's bidding. And sometimes we do that without even knowing, because that's what we've been trained to do. And we've been trained for a very, very long time, and has been reinforced by people that we love, from our parents, our grandparents, our aunts, our uncles, our brothers, our sisters, our friends. And we always want to get along. We always want to get along. So I would say, when talking to people, and as Scotty said yesterday, you have to really kind of vet people. Be careful who you talk to, because then people will somehow get an insight as to how you think. So I would always say, don't let people know what you're thinking. Just give them something to think about and ask them, what do they think about this? But there's individuals that you have an intimate relationship with. And those individuals that you have an intimate relationship with, well, you can divulge more of your personal thoughts and your because it may affect them both, you know, beneficially and adversely. And so there needs to be, you know, some communication, and to develop that relationship that you all have. Relationships with people are so important. Because I think it's going to be really, really beneficial for us as people and as a species, to where we start to leverage all of our talents and ability for the overall common good, for the whole progression of the species. This is also known as going from a class zero society to a class one society, class two and class three. Right now, we're probably a class zero minus three, because we invoke violence to take someone else's energy. And it's going to take a while to break out of that. But the seeding of that can start with you. And I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to people. But I would also say, I'm going to just say for me personally, I'm always weary of, for all of you that's been around, Jerry's been, and Jenna's been with me since I've been on the radio, and even before I got on the radio in RDP with Brother Davis, and everything else. And he's been with us since then. He'll tell you that this is what we always say. We always need a leaderless movement. It's not about me being your leader or this person being your leader. It's about what we could do collectively together. Because I think it's very important to always have that, because there is no such thing as a leader except in a system of subjugation and enslavement. And that's what we're trying to move away from. So we have to move away from all of the programming and all of the nomenclature that make that paradigm exist. We are all equally significant. We don't want to squander our talents and ability to only use them when someone else says you're going to use them right now, or this is the way that you're going to use them, and this is how you're going to use them. That's really us squandering our talents and ability. So when you speak to people, you give information with them, what you're really doing is you're nurturing them to be self-dependent, to be sovereign. And then with that, you know, people are going to do things and that you won't agree with. I don't care what a person does. Can't stop what people are going to do. And people should be able to make that choice. But see, in today's world, we say, no, we don't want people to make that choice, because they're going to abuse that. That's what the system, that's how the system keeps us segregated. You don't know what's best for you, so we have to tell you what's the best for you. And it's kind of like, the way that I can explain it is that we've never been self-determined and sovereign. It's just like having a child driving a Ferrari, and they just happen and don't know how to drive, but they know they can reach the gas and the accelerator, and they can reach the steering wheel. They can see out the overall windshield, and they don't know how to drive. And so when they get behind a car that has 700 horsepower, has an engine that puts out 700 horsepower and a torque that puts out 725, that individual child that's new to driving, that overall Ferrari is a danger to them and everyone else around them, because the mistakes of their desires and their will can adversely affect many. But when we develop people to know the responsibilities that go along with every decision that they make, and now they can weigh the consequences or the ramifications of their decisions on a balance, on a scale, and then now they'll be able to say, okay, this is good for me, that's not good for me, it affects this, it affects that. Now what are you having? Now you're having maturity that sets in instead of immaturity. We are so immature to being sovereign and self-determined that we become destructive. So when you give information to people, make sure you're not giving them a Ferrari and they haven't learned how to drive yet. And when I say make sure, you may not really know, but that's a risk that you should take from you developing some maturity of ourselves. I need to mature. Oh man, do I need to mature? You need to mature. I don't have a problem saying that about anybody from anyone. Maturity is always beneficial to us. But what kind of maturity? Is it a maturity that's malevolent or benevolent? So I would say we're giving information to people. It's really, when you give information to people, are you willing to invest in them in a relationship? Are you really willing to do that? And that's some of the thing I think that goes along with it. And I think that just because you give information to someone, that information, you know, it may be sometimes some of the information we give may be our opinions, and our opinions doesn't make anything right. It can be based off life experience and everything else, and that's really good. But it's your life, and our opinions may not be right. And what is the truth? What is the truth? Sometimes the lines between the truth and deception is undistinguishable. Is undistinguishable. But I think when we have a sincere objective for that individual person and not our individual interests, that's a relationship that can be stroked, and you could tell people some of the things that you think about, and they won't use that against you, and you won't use that against them. And so I think, it's, you know, talking to people is a very, very, and I'm not talking about your intimate family, but talking to people is very, this system has taught us to propagandize everything.
Jay.
Yes.
Hey, it's Griffin. Good evening, fam.
Good evening, brother.
You talked about that, and the note I wanted to make, because you started off talking about the pharmaceuticals and all of that. I was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting about 10 years ago, and they'd had some thefts in the local area from pharmaceutical distribution places. So who they brought to the morning meeting was a regional FBI agent. And he was giving all these reasons on why these people, we could go back to our businesses and check with our employees to help them track where these drugs were going. So I listened to his whole presentation for about 35, 40 minutes. And, you know, people have a tendency when they're in a position of power or have a label to want to lead you down the road. So when he finished his presentation, I asked him, I said, man, I said, I did some research when they told me you're going to be here. And I said, I see where there's been five or six big-time heists in several distribution places. He goes, yes, that's right, that's right. It's good to do your research. I said, so I want to ask you a question as the agent. How in the world can you have $2 or $3 million worth of products stolen in the East alone, in the Northeast alone, and you not do something to secure your merchandise? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, there's several possibilities, but for me, it sounds like maybe the drug industry is part of the black market. I certainly don't know any other industry that loses that much profit and doesn't do anything to secure it. So I make that point that you got to be willing to question people regardless of their title. And I learned that.
Right.
My dad told me it doesn't matter if it's your friend or the police officer. It's okay to hear what they say, but then you have to go through a thought process. How much of this am I willing to believe? You just can't trust people because of their title.
Right. So true. And that's very, very true. And we always have to be cognizant of the information that we give. And, you know, I've made some major mistakes. And, you know, and I'm glad that everyone here, we watch out for everyone, and say, you know, and that's very, very true. We should question everything, because a question is more important than the answer, because an answer is temporary, a question is eternal. It leads to more and more and more answers. It leads to more and more questions. It leads to more and more development. And Otis is absolutely right. You know, what the system does is that it has a authoritative, and they tell you it's the authorities. They take a approach of the authorities, meaning that they are the ones that will decide, and they will lead you where you go, where you're to go, because you're not a authority in the matter. You're not allowed to speak. You haven't been given the blessings of the king or the blessing of the demigod of the system to speak on this. And Otis is absolutely right. You have to question everything, even from people that you know and trust. Not saying that you are questioning their credibility, but you should question everything that is brought to you, because that is an act of furtherance if it's important to you. There's a lot of things that is not important to us that me personally, I think, should be, but that doesn't mean that I'm right or that it needs to, you know, that should be the way that it goes. I try to resonate with people in common, and also to have people that would I love disagreement of people, you know, among us, ourselves, when we're trying to handle and find a solution to different things. And I'm going to tell you, for my intimate relationships, I'll tell you one of the things that I ask. I don't require anything of the other individual. I always, with my intimate relationships, this is one thing that I always go by. Whoever is adamant is right. And this is for my deepest relationships with people. I will say to them, whoever is adamant is right. And very few of those individuals.
Brother?
Yes, yes. One second, brother Davis. I'm gonna come right to you. Good to hear you. Always good to hear the voice of a friend. I'm warning because you'll lead right into this, because you resonate right with this. And I say that to my very few intimate relationships because of this. Whoever is adamant has taken the responsibility of me, and if I'm adamant for that individual, I've taken the responsibility for them. And now, whatever it is that they're adamant with, I'm going to thoroughly support 100%, and they're going to thoroughly support whatever the direction, whatever I'm adamant with, because there's been a measure of trust that has been built throughout time. And I know that if I'm wrong with something, that I have already have made provisions for that individual not to be adversely affected by what I was adamant about. So that's a relationship thing that has to develop. And Brother Davis is there in queue. I want to go to Brother Davis. Always good to hear the voice of a friend. Go ahead, Brother Davis.
Absolutely. It's always good to hear the voice of a friend. I wanted to add, because a lot of times we fail to realize how society takes away our rights. That's why you always, whenever there's a racial conflict and they talk about it on the news, you notice they always have two white people there. And if they have a black person come in, they already have an understanding of what he's going to say. See, really what that does is it subdues the right of the black individual from his purpose of stating his point. That way, they can constantly control the monologue. What we have to understand is this. We have been taught wrong. We have been deceived, and we have been dealt with wrongly from the conception of why we are even here. So what we have to do is be, first of all, truthful to ourselves. And a lot of people fail to realize just how powerful that is and just how much work it requires. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't take my word for it. Just start a weekly journal, and every day when you go through something emotional, write about it and write how you dealt with it. You're going to find at the end of the week that you either deceived yourself or you confront yourself. Now, let me tell you the difference. Deceive yourself is to make it appear as though you wanted it to be, but not the way it happened. So therefore, you're literally trying to give yourself an emotional lift out of a circumstance that you really didn't like. It might have actually been ugly. But when you're honest with yourself, you can sit back a day or two later and reevaluate as you go along and see how you could have dealt with that differently. Why? Because you're honest enough to say, at this point, I was so emotional, I couldn't think straight. Had I thought straight, I wouldn't have made that decision. You see, this helps us to be able to control our emotions so that we can function intellectually in our best interest. I just wanted to add that, brother. I appreciate it, Dave.
Davis, I always appreciate you and love and in harmony. With, you know, like Brother Davis, let me tell you and it was so funny that Brother Davis chimed in right when he did, because, and I don't know if I'm supposed to divulge this, but Brother Davis has said it on the air before, so I have no problem with it. Brother Davis has said to me, David, if I leave you my family, you're responsible for them. If I'm going off to do something, if I leave you with the family, if some harm comes to the family, you better be dead. And I understood right away what that meant. And because what Brother Davis is saying is that I trust you so much that I'm giving you my most, the greatest responsibility beyond myself. I'm giving you of myself and beyond myself to be the caretaker of my family while I go off and do what's in our best interest for collectively all. And Brother David said, David, and everyone that you leave with me of your family, believe me, if something happens to them, it's because I'm no longer able and I'm no longer living. And that's what I was really, that's another way of saying that whoever is adamant is correct, because that ultimate responsibility is that you will never, ever allow them to be harmed as much as you possibly can without you giving everything. And these are some of the bonds of our talents and our abilities that we should start to display and cultivate among ourselves. Because Brother Davis is absolutely right. We've been actually indoctrinated to serve and not to create. To create the solutions there from the segregated paradigm that we live in everything that's bad about our society and everything that's bad about our conditions, the plight of our conditions of physical living, there's a solution to it. And that solution lies within us all. It doesn't rely in one individual. See, we always look for one individual because those one individuals of leaders are always so easy to control and manipulate. The great universe was not created in this great living sustainable form because of one thing. It's the myriad of things working together, the cross-pollination, the great tapestry of the universe. It doesn't need one tie, it needs them all to tie in together. And it's absolutely right. We've been so indoctrinated that we don't create anymore. We serve the system. So what does that tell us? At some point, at some time, it may not be in our physical existence. We're going to have to come to the realization that the longer I stay in this system and I operate under what I've been schooled and indoctrinated into, the longer I will fail, the longer I will quit, the longer I will be disenfranchised, the longer I will have all kinds of toxins in my body, all this and that, the longer I will give up my energy, my priceless energy, for worthless substance. And I think it's about time that we at least start that path. We may not see it all the way through individually, but we can start to see that collectively. And maybe our children, our children's children, those that we have yet not named, will be able to do that.
Yes, ma'am.
So I want to go to my brother. I see Roz is in crew. Roz, welcome to Tando Radio. What say you, brother?
Hey, peace and love. How you doing? How's everything?
What's up, brother? My man.
Hey man, I'm good. Great show. Peace to you, Brother Davis. Scotty, of course. Jenna and all other callers and listeners, what you're talking about is really important. I would just say, because like you said, if you don't vet people, things can get really, really ugly. And I've had some situations personally where the importance of vetting people who you deal with intimately had played out.
Scotty really emphasized that yesterday, Raj. I know you heard. Yeah, he really emphasized that yesterday.
It is so essential because one thing that I look for in people is consistency of character.
Character, right.
Is something that I find that is one of the most important things in the Yoruba culture. Is called Iwapele, which means good character. And they migrated to their pleasant location from the Nile Valley. And like the Nile Valley people said, and they say themselves, you know, your character is what you carry with you. You know, when you pass away, the biggest way for you to continue your existence is for people to say your name, speak your name, and leave offerings to you. And essentially that has to do with the quality of your character. If you see inconsistencies in someone's character, you'll find that it's never in one area of people activity. It usually spreads to multiples, and in most cases, all areas of people activity, that character flaw will rear its head in some form or fashion. Loyalty, malleability of their character. If they're able to change who they are depending on who they're around, that says a lot, because that means they're changing themselves when they're in your presence as well. If you watch them and they have things to say about people that are inconsistent with how they deal with them, when you see them relate to people, and there'll be somebody that you heard them say something crazy about or something negative about, but yet their behavior in that person's presence doesn't mirror the things that they supposedly said about that person. All of these little nuanced behaviors and character traits you have to really watch. And sometimes it takes a while. It's not something that you might know a person for a year or longer, and they've never exhibited any sort of, you know, flaws in their character traits or anything. And then all of a sudden, it'll be a specific situation in which, bang, it'll show itself. But you have to be paying attention to these things. And it's not about being scrutinous to be judgmental. It's being scrutinous because, A, like you said, when I let you into my inner circle, these are the treasures, the living treasures that I have in my inner circle. And I'm not going to expose them to any potential pathogen, which would be potentially you, if you come in and you're not really who you say you are. And I'm not going to expose you to anything either. So the whole thing in a nutshell is, I have to really vet you to protect the people who I'm in already with, as well as protect you from what could possibly happen to you if you walk into my circle and these people who are also thinking on a similar level to me are vetting you, and they might catch the flaws that I don't catch, and I'm not there to protect you. So it's really a whole, it's a give and a take, and you have to be extremely discerning. There's a lot of books you can read about just people, psychology, how to vet people's behavior by their body language, by the way that they say certain things, vocal inflection. These are all things that I watch, pay attention to, and been studying since I was a teenager. So these are all things that I take with me when I deal with people. And it's with anybody. But if you're in my inner circle, like I told you, I think it was yesterday or the day before, if I call you a friend, then you are basically family that I personally handpicked. So for me, that is not a word I take lightly or use lightly. So that's my approach to the term friend. So ultimately, all of that is a big part of how you acquire those gems that you choose for yourself. And with that, I'll just shut it down. But I think that cannot be overstated, the understanding of other people and vetting people. And a major aspect of that is just character consistency, because you'll find that any inconsistency will spread itself to different areas of people activity. And if there's consistency, then that lets you know that that person is reliable, that they have a sturdy foundation. That's what the JED pillar stands for in Kemetic culture, stability. And if you see two of them together, then it's basically an amplification of the concept of something being stable and grounded and rooted and immovable. When you see Ta is always shown wrapped up in mummy wrappings, and he's holding the Wa'a scepter of power. And that is the symbolic of what's known as the immovable mover. If your character is immovable, then you know that that person is trustworthy. If that character is malleable, then it could be a part of the way that they function in a codified manner, but you have to know the person on that level, or it can be a character flaw that you might be also experiencing and not paying attention to because you think this person is really someone who they're not. So these are all things you pay attention to. One love, I'll put myself on mute.
Hold on, Roz. Big ups. Strategic Melon said, say that, Roz. And Otis said, speaking truth, Roz. So, so true. My man, Roz, Roz, I got to tell you, I came up with something for you. I'm going to tell you in private first. So we definitely got to do. We got to get ready to go to a break. Listen, everyone. Hold on, Roz. Hold on. We'll be right back. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And we were talking about, Jenna had brought up giving information to talking to people about information and everything else, and it kind of went into vetting people. And we just heard from Brother Davis, and we heard from Roz, and we heard from Otis on that section as well. And what it really is that if we really look at it, this is how you establish a culture. This is how you establish a culture. Because we don't have culture. We follow fads in today's world. And because culture establishes sustainability that you can live by. And what all of these brothers were talking about is the sustainable living force that you can bring a legacy of prosperity that you can pass down generation after generation. And that's so important in today's world. I think that it's very important that we talk about and develop these type of things in our immediate significant circles, in our immediate significant relationships, because with collective prudence, with us collectively working together, there isn't anything that we cannot create. Look at what this system, and I'm going to go to Scotty in a minute. One second, Scotty. Look at what this system was able to establish through the collective prudence of destruction. So your prime example of the fullness of the possibilities is right there. And they worked on a code of ethics as well. They work on their core values, their moral absolutes. And there are moral absolutes that you should have within your relationships with individuals and with the overall collective general extension of your community. So, so important. So let me go real quickly to Scotty. Scotty, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Dave, and this goes back to what you were talking about earlier in response to what Jenna had stated. And basically what you laid out, man, was the critical thinking process, you know, in terms of considering the sources of information, not just outright rejecting the information, but receive the information. If you think it's worthy of your time, it may apply to you. You want to do further investigation and see if you can find other sources to confirm the information. But you were also talking about how people fall for, as you call them, figureheads, you know, celebrities or what have you. They fall in love with personalities and then they trust these people. So I want to explain this in the context of this article I read today, and it's nothing new.
Okay.
But the Christian community, particularly the Black Christian community, has been given a lot of false information, in my opinion, based on my study, about this prosperity preaching. You know, give money to the church so that you can receive, you know, so much more. So right off the top, your motive is wrong. You're supposed to give money to the church because you are part of that church and it needs to keep the lights on in any other outreach programs, not so that you can get money in return in sevenfold or whatever they tell you. So
engorge yourself.
Yeah, so this Houston preacher, he's not the first one. It was another one months ago in Virginia. It was many more before that. Even Eddie Long down there in Georgia, he got in trouble for it too. But you've been having these preachers who have been partnering with so-called investment counselors, and they've been defrauding people. So this Houston pastor brings this guy in. He's supposed to be the expert. The pastor's using his influence as a personality, as a celebrity figurehead, to get people in this mega church to invest in Chinese bonds that have not existed since before the current government, you know, the Chinese Revolution took place. These are worthless bonds that haven't been issued since 1949. So they got a whole bunch of people to buy into that, man, because they looking to get rich. Now, again, I'm only talking to Christians. I mean, but even if you're not a Christian, it's a lesson that you can learn from all things. If those people were really studying themselves instead of relying on somebody else to interpret scripture for them and doing the study and the vetting for themselves, then they would say, they would know the scripture that say, hey, it's hard for a rich man to get in. It's harder for, it's easier for a camel to fit through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. The reason why I say that is because rich people have the means to engage in anything that comes to their mind, any foul thing that comes any to temptation. Mind. When we look at those billionaires, that Bill Clinton, I forget that billionaire's name, who had the Lolita Express, where they was pimping out them young girls, and he even got an island in the Virgin Islands.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah. I know his name is on the tip of my tongue, yes.
Yeah, Clinton and Trump is connected to him, okay? And right. And so then it also says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of
the
money
love of
is the root of all evil. You know, when you're just accumulating money so that you can live a lifestyle of the rich and famous. And that's just not very, that's not very scriptural or whatnot. And but instead of these particular Christians getting in there and studying and meditating on it to see if they are discerning the spirit of truth that they heard from their pastor and then matching it up with scripture, they don't do that, man. They fall in love with that pastor, which he, you know, is usually charismatic type person who's good at talking any kind of way, and they talk you into, you know, all kind of frauds and stuff. But that's, you know, in all walks of life, people, activity, area, I will even throw religion in there. You really have to vet stuff, man, and you just can't put your blind faith that somebody has your best interest at heart, because a lot of times you find out people don't. I don't know if that kind of relates, but in my mind, it kind of related.
That was definitely, you know, and everyone here would definitely agree with that, because many of us that listen to Tando Radio Show, Black Talk Radio Network, we listen to it because we all resonate in some form of agreed fashion. That's why it's so important for us to actually grow off of that. And the thing about what Scotty said was so profound, with Otis, the example he gave, what Brother David said, what Jenna said, and what Ry said, and then when you look at all of this, these are some of the gems and the jewels that we should be taking back to establish our individual relationships where we are. Because you are actually the satellite and the extensions of Black Talk Radio Network. You are actually the extension of our relationships with one another. And there is no leader that we have, but there is definitely the people. We have the people. And what Scotty was talking about is absolutely a part of how this system allows us to create blind faith and idol worship. The idol worship. And so some of these things, you can go back. It was Epstein. That's right, Epstein. You can go back. Hold on 1 second. 1 second, everyone.
Yeah, thank you, Otis. Jeffrey Epstein is the guy's name. Just look him up.
Epstein. Yeah, Epstein. So, and he was a part of, he was huge in the pedophile. And it wasn't just him. Epstein was attached to the Queen of England, Charles, and all of that, and everything else. That whole pedophile ring. That's what this whole thing is about. This is why you see what you see on TV now, and all of this goes together. The conspiracy agenda. And what's so important in this is that from here we should actually be forming our own satellite groups where you are, because by doing that, by vetting individuals, by establishing relationships, by taking the action to do it for yourself, and mainly one of the reasons, I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I've learned, and this may not apply to you, I've learned that whenever I did some things that wasn't directly going to benefit me, it was the most, it was probably the best thing that I ever could have done, because you end up benefiting from it, not from what you gain from it individually, but with from individuals around you are able to leverage to their advantage, and they share it with you. That's because if you think about how the universe works, the sun provides the ground, the earth, with the rain. And then the earth gets the rain, and all of the seeds from the earth, it starts to have its extension of its living to grow out of that, that sustains everything that's there on the earth, and it keeps the, and it actually reseeds the earth itself for the earth to be able to sustain itself. Don't think that fruit dropping on the ground is a mistake. It's just that that's the tree going through its process. No, that's actually from the waters. That's how you regenerate the ground, and the ground is the earth. So it's a continuous perpetual motion of giving, the continuous perpetual motion of a culture of sustainability. And this is why it's so confusing and difficult for us to come together, because we come together with a soul purpose instead of a communable purpose.
Hey, Dave.
One of the things I want to reemphasize, this system of subjugation has mastered that. But they've mastered it, and they chose to do it in a very demonic and evil way. Because those individuals, the individuals that actually benefit from this system, they have a free will just like you. They can they decide to participate in this. And believe me, it is an effort for them. It doesn't come easy. They have to work it.
Hey, Dave, I wanted to share some details with
because
that.
They meet the overall challenges and the overall rebuffing and the obstacles of the universe itself.
Hey, Dave.
And everyone that they're establishing their subjugation over. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, let me just share some details, you know. And just, you know, if you're not a Christian, again, you still learn from this, all right? But this is involving this church. Let me just share a couple of details. The Houston Mega Church pastor and longtime spiritual advisor to President George W. Bush was indicted in federal court on claims that he sold more than $1 million in worthless Chinese bonds to vulnerable and elderly investors, some of who lost their life savings to the alleged scheme. Now, let me jump down a little bit. According to prosecutors, Caldwell used his influence as the pastor of the 16,000-member Village United Methodist Church to dupe investors into buying historical Chinese bonds issued decades ago. Let me jump down. These bonds were issued by the former Republic of China prior to losing power to the communist government in 1949. Now, if those people had just did a little research, looked up the name of this bond, they would have found out that they were, but they put blind faith into a figurehead.
Blind faith is always the first step to genocide. And this is why we say it. That's absolutely right. And wow. That is a story that's repeatable in our community, in our churches, in our organizations and our institutions, not just the church, in all forms and fashions. We have blind faith in everything because we have dependency. We become dependent on the system itself. I read a quote from the Rothschilds a while ago, and I posted inside of Tando. And that quote really speaks volumes to what we're all speaking about. And in today's show, we need to create our own, we need to create from our own gifts. And it needs to start with you individually and establishing that as a platform and a foundation in your relationships with everyone. With everyone. We got Brother Davis back in queue. Brother Davis, what say you?
I wanted to add that society teaches you that deception is acceptable. And before you realize it, accepting deception, you incorporate it into your life. That's like the old little white lie syndrome. Well, we have to realize that this becomes a part of our character base. You've heard me say that people go to work every day and they put on the persona of the people they want to be accepted by. But see, they get lost in that persona, so they can't identify themselves. And before you know it, the characteristics that they try to show people at the job that they fit in, they begin to do at home. So therefore, they are going through a transformation process that they don't even identify with because it comes routine. That's why it's so important to do things for yourself, exclusively for self-growth. Because when you don't, you get so disconnected, you fall into programs that are running 24/7. Right. And before you realize it, you're saying the very thing that you've seen on TV. And if you don't believe it, drive by McDonald's with children in the car. They don't know how to say the name, but they know the Golden Arches. See, that is a program that they set at a very early age so that children can force parents through emotional attachments to do something that they may not even consider doing, but, oh, okay, let's just take a go to the drive-thru. See, but it breaks down the character of the substance that the person is trying to build. I just wanted to add that real quick, Brother Dick.
My brother. And, you know, Brother Davis is, and I would definitely would just elaborate and agree with so much. Brother Davis is talking about one of the things that we need to do is we need to detox from everything that we've learned before we even take on the overall system. We have to detox ourselves of it first, because I know for me, and I'm not going to speak for anyone else, there's a detoxing process that, just like any time you get any form of synthetic poison or any form of toxins in your body, it's actually going to work counter to your overall, how your body resonates, the true rotation of your energy. Poison goes to the left, has a left rotation, known as a retrograde. And the sustainable energy goes in, the life energy rotates in a different direction. And sometimes we realize that we have been going in the wrong direction and we want to go in the right direction, but we can't bring the wrong resonant energy to try to create a right direction. And we haven't detoxified ourselves. This is why I love on Wise Wednesdays and just Brother Davis and all of everyone here. We talk about, if you really think about what we're talking about, we need to first detoxify ourselves of what we've been taught here. It's good to know, but it's better to do it. Scotty had to go through a process to create this network, this Black Talk Radio Network. He had to be on his back. That's where you go through the detox. You start to detoxify yourself. And Scotty had to say, okay, what the heck am I going to do? And he chose to do something benevolent.
Dave, did you say I was on my back?
Yeah.
How did you know?
You told us.
I was literally on my back. I was literally bedridden after suffering that injury to my spine, man. And it was during that time, instead of moping around feeling sorry for myself, I was like, hey, what's this blog talk radio? Oh, wow. You know, I like radio. I listen to a lot of talk radio. They don't like what we putting out. Let me see how I can create this. I was literally on my back. I created it in the bed.
Yeah, brother, I know you. Believe me, that was your detox period. That's when you decided to do something better, bigger than you, for the common good of all. You know, because the true measure of love is when you stop living for yourself and you start living for the advancement of someone else. And you know who that someone else is? The part of your family that you've yet not named. Part of the people that you love and that yet they have yet not named their offsprings and everything else. And you make an investment and a commitment to them. Think about it. The great creator made this universe a while ago, but it continues to bear the overall fruit of prosperity. For those that has yet not even been brought into it. So we got to detox. I think it's important for us to go through a detox. And part of that detox is that sometimes you have to be knocked on your back. You have to virtually lose it all. Don't fight when you go through that. Learn from it. Because it's something about your energy that caused you to get there the way that you are. And if you compromise your morality to the overall system, then it will bring you back even drunker in its allure of deception than ever before. And the intoxication of that is that you'll be willing to compromise and willing to destroy any and all so that you can merely eat. You will love power. You will not understand the power of love. So it's really important. I mean, from everything we get here on Black Talk Radio Network, this is a prepping show, but this is a part of preparing for some of the things that we're going to be going through. And I want to say this. I don't want to always, and I hope that I'm not painting a gloom and doom scenario for everyone. And if you take it as that, that's not my intention. And I would say that you won't see it that way if you will start to make a choice on your response to it all. And that response should be bigger than you, bigger than me, bigger than what you can see, big enough that you're going to make an investment into it with all that you have and not expect to see a return. And believe me, you will memorialize your creed. You will memorialize what is important to you, your core values. Martin, Malcolm memorialized their core values, their moral absolutes. One of the things in preparing is that you have to have some form of moral absolutes. My moral absolutes, I tell you, I've never, ever, ever, ever met Scotty. I've never, ever, ever met physically Roz. I've never, ever met physically Brother Braggs, Jenna. I've met L.A. Ramon. I've met Brother and Sister Davis, my heart. And even though I've never met those individuals, I'm committed to them. Totally committed to them. And what I do here and what I do now is for the benefit of all. Because this is our community that's right here. And our community is going to come under major attack within the community that we live in and our Tando Radio Show community, as well as our Black Talk Radio Network community. We're getting ready to go to a break. When we come back, I think it's important for us to start to memorialize in our actions and prepare for that, but not preparing for the adversities, but preparing for the opportunities that are going to come from that, that we are going to be able to invest in far beyond our physical existence. It will actually go past our great transformation. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Talk Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, you're welcome to Tando Radio Show by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the last half hour, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. And creating our, from our talents, creating our existence is very, very important. And we're going to get into some things, some material things that will help you within your preparedness, but the overall spiritual and the commitment of your will is the first and foremost thing that we have to do. Our, detoxing ourselves from this system is a must. And whew, I need to detox, y'all. I need to go on a little fast. I'm not looking forward to it, but I got to do it. And there's a couple of other things that I need to do to detox. But we also need to detox ourselves from this system. And when you start to do that, you notice certain things. Your communications with people change. Your interest in things and people change. I don't even care about fantasy football no more. I don't even care about the NFL. I don't even care about... I know it was so funny. I was with someone, and they asked me about some NBA players today, and I was like, oh, my goodness, for the first time in my life, I was like, I don't know. Someone asked me, hey, who is that? I don't know. I've seen him before. I know he's a good baller. He's a baller. I can't remember his name right now. Well-known, because my interest isn't there. I've detoxed myself from that. But one of the things I've also have to do, and we all, I would say, and I would just use me as an example, I have to detox my attitude, how I relate to people, how I interact with people. Because that was actually formulated through a poison pill. It was actually cultivated through a demented process. And I can't take that attitude that was infused and placed in me via a syringe and vaccinate the vaccination that I received as a young man and as a child and growing up. Through everything that you go through in life experience, that overall vaccination has poisoned and polluted my body of attitude, how I respond to different things. And that's what the system really wants to do. It wants to bring about an anger and an evil and a selfishness.
Your brother?
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Davis.
I wanted to point out something that you said. You see, we have been so indoctrinated into these sports that we don't realize how much of our resources that we put into that, how much of this system is designed for us to fall into the aspect of it. You take a child who just plays street ball. They blow his concept of what the potential can be. He might be 4 foot 6 inches, but because of the way they present it, they make him feel as though if he's competitive, he can compete with somebody that's 6'10". Now, in reality, when you're 6'10", there's only like 3% of the people of that size or bigger it even make it into the NBA. So the dynamics of the numbers itself bring on a high improbability for somebody that's 4'6 to make it on that level. So we have to understand when we feed into these things, all of a sudden you're buying gear, you got a favorite team, you're putting a lot of your time into this, and they understand that. But here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. In the days of the Romans, when they were deceiving the people, they took him to the stadium with the gladiators.
Right. Yep.
To take their mind off what is being done in front of their face. Why? Because then they become self-deceiving by saying, oh, wow, I want to see my team play today. And all of a sudden, the things that are going on in their community, in their lives, in their family, no longer hold that priority. I really appreciate you adding that, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know, it's so funny. Scotty had talked about, I don't watch March Madness anymore. And Otis had said, yeah, I saw two friends fight over it. I said, I'm not giving. This is just counterproductive. It's so true. And you know what's so important? You know what's important to Scotty. Scotty is the abolitionist. Him and Max are the abolitionists of this network. And we all are, but they are that's where they put their interest. That's their overall interest. That's where they focus. And you know what the NCAA is nothing more than glorified slavery. And it gets us subliminally to, when we don't detox ourselves of that, we don't see that. But see, when we have a fanatic relationship with it, when we become a fan, that's what fanatic means, when we become a fan of the NCAA, it doesn't matter what they do to our children, it's worth it. And Brother Davis brought up the Romans taking them to the Colosseum. It's so funny how this system follows a rhythm, because they know frequency is everything. And as the Roman Empire start to dissolve or reposition itself, because that's all it did, in a rebirthing of itself, that's all it did, it was on the forefront, and then it faded out to be dormant, but it was never cured. Our societies have never been cured of that overall paradigm. One of the things that it was started to get popular in its demise was the Colosseum, the blood sports. Look how popular MMA is now. Pretty soon you're going to have people fighting beasts. Pretty soon they're going to bring weapons into that platform. And look how many people, and look at all of the bloodthirsty people that will be there, because all of those individuals are intoxicated by the destructive nature of subjugation. They want to see it bleed.
Hey, brother,
from that mentality. Go ahead, brother Dave.
The perfect example of them controlling the dialogue is Colin Kaepernick. You see, when he made his statement and told them what the truth was, the reason why I'm pointing it out is because everybody identifies with it. He told them why he was taking the knee. By the time it hit major news network, he was unpatriotic. It had nothing to do with the truth that he demonstrated. Now, I point that out to you because almost 90% of the NFL is black. But literally, their power was taken away from them. Jimmy Jones even said, if you go take a knee on my team, you out of here. You see, white, this concept of white control, when it's tested, they have to put a boot on the neck. You know, and when I mean a boot on the neck, you see they didn't hire Colin Kaepernick. And three or four teams needed quarterbacks of his level or better, but never picked him up. So this is another form of showing you that you've been programmed. Who are you to step outside of the program and think independently? And when I said to my wife, well, guess what? This solidifies. I had stopped watching the NFL and all these here because of the politics behind the team I like 4 or 5 years ago. But this solidified the truth of what I was doing, because literally the most powerful people that make the league have no power in it, because so many of us run to it like it serves us, and all it does is serve all of the services that suck our resources: the chicken wing place, the beer joints, the multiple TV places that people go and watch the games with their gear on. comes back into our community, but yet we participate like it's a celebration. And actually what we're doing is destroying our own morality. Because when you've seen the argument, there are those such as myself who would not watch the NFL, and there were those who thought that they were going to fight for their right to follow their team. We didn't say that they couldn't. What we're saying is you don't serve your best interest. I just wanted to add that, brother.
Well said, Brother David. And man, did you hear? Well, brother, those that give the energy to the system are the ones that receive no benefit from it. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Absolutely, absolutely right. And it's, you know, and that goes with when we start to prepare, we have to detoxify ourselves from everything that we've been indoctrinated and schooled in. Then when we come out of that detoxification, now we can move into re-nurturing our bodies, re-nurturing our spiritual bodies, our mental bodies, our physical bodies, with the sustainable things, and then you'll notice something. You resonate different. No longer will you have to practice discipline to control your emotions or your attitude or your response to things. It will never even tempt you. Things won't tempt you that way. Someone talking bad about your favorite team will not even be in a temptation for you to defend it. Because you're too busy building. There's something important about people that are building. When they're picking up hammers and working, they don't have time for gossiping bull stuff. They don't speak it, and they don't hear it, because they're focused on what they need to build. Very few people pick up a hammer. And so I think it's very important for us as Tando Radio Show listeners in preparing is that we first detoxify ourselves to get that poison, that plague,
Dave,
to get that pestilence out of our lives, and then start to build. I think that was Brother Otis that was in the background. I'm not quite sure. Otis, was that you, brother?
Yes, I'm country. When you give these prescient points of view, I always like to condense them down to the old folk that I know, like my dad, who only had a fourth grade education. He told me early on in life, well, there's two things you don't want to do. You don't want to feed your mind or your body no junk.
Oh, you know, some of the ancestral sayings, they're so relevant. They've been around for so good. That had true meaning. Those parables, that rhyme, has so much. What are we doing in today's world? We replace those things that build us and re-nurture us and actually hydrate our bodies and bring the appropriate mind nutrients to our bodies. We replace them with the garbage that music is putting out, and we keep repeating those spells that's casted. We don't come up with those great old sayings, those ancient sayings. This is why we are nowhere near wealthier or more prosperous than our parents and our great-great parents and our great-great-great ancestral parents. There's no way that we are, because we're a walking cesspool. And there's no room for prosperity. Prosperity always looks for a host. Somehow in this system that we've been taught, we always close the door to it. So, detoxifying our bodies of what we've been taught from this system is probably one of the things in preparing that's going to be necessary, because the system is going to definitely try and get you to respond and have you beholden to the threats that is going to confront you with. But if you build your immune system in a natural way, with no more synthetic flaws, compromises, vulnerabilities, and weaknesses, it will bounce off you and it will have to travel somewhere else, because it can never penetrate your high frequency and your energy. So listen, everyone, got to get out of here a little bit earlier. And I just want to say that I appreciate you so, so much. And I just want to say, it's never goodbye, as always, I'll see you later. Whatever is going to be facing us going forward in the future, we should really welcome it, because it's going to bring about the opportunity for us to seed and invest forward the prosperity that will never be broken, and we will be able to regain what was lost. What more could we ask for? And you're the conduit for that. You're the silver. You're the sun. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Never goodbye, as always, we'll see you later. Brother Braggs, if you would be so kind to chime us out, greatly appreciate. Much love, much respect. Peace, peace.
Peace, peace.
Dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give